glad you're here today. Thank you, gentlemen, for that and for ministering to us in song. I want you to find Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter number 16 is where we'll be at this morning. And so if you'll find that, I do have a couple of prayer requests that I want you to pray for. Brother Clarence Gilbert, I want you to pray for the Gilbert family. His 30-year-old niece passed away this weekend. Her name was Meg Jordan. And so I want you to pray for the Gilbert family and the Jordan family, if you would please. And then also want you to pray for, you've been praying for our church and of course in a transition time. And got word this week from Brother Stephen Newport. He was with us a few weeks ago, came for a visit and was checking things out. And he let us know this past Wednesday evening that he would like to come and minister with us. And so we rejoice in that. I want you to be prepared for that. He'll be coming, Lord willing, at the beginning of June to join us on staff here. And so I hope you rejoice in that. And I do thank you for praying as well, and continue to pray for the transition. And so we'll keep you updated on everything there. But if you found your Bibles in Matthew chapter 16, I want to read to you a few verses here this morning, and we're going to abbreviate the message a little bit, so for sake of time, but we knew that already. And the only place, now some of you are going to leave afterwards, I get that, but the only place we have to be is in the gym to eat. And so we're going to give them time to get that set up. But we're here, Matthew chapter 16. This is why we came. And the Bible says, when Jesus, in verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I want to draw your attention to the 18th verse, where right in the middle of that, Jesus speaking, he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, The Church That Jesus Built. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for your goodness to us. Father, it is so overwhelming how good you truly are to us. God, as we have gathered together in this place for such a time as this, God, we do want to be mindful this morning of the needs that are in this room. Some we've mentioned of the Jordan and Gilbert family. Father, we just pray for a wonderful peace and comfort could spread over that family during this tragedy in their lives. But Father, we're convinced today that with your peace and your comfort, they can make it through. And Father, there may be others in this room this morning that through illness or tragedies in their own life, need that peace and comfort as well. Father, I'm grateful this morning as we read in your word that as the church that your Son built, Father, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Father, we know that through the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man, the Bible, your word tells us that we can avail much. And Father, that's what we want to accomplish this morning. We want to avail. We want to prosper. We want to see your mighty hand at work. And God, as we celebrate this morning the 27 years you have given Crossroads Baptist Church here in West Mobile, Alabama, Father, that you have planted this, and God, that we would stay faithful to what you've called us to do. May we preach your word from front to back and all in between. God, may we seek to do Your will, and will You guide our steps along the way. Father, we'll be certain to give You the honor and the glory for it. For it is in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The church that Jesus built. In Matthew chapter 16 is the one of the first places that we see Jesus discuss and talk about the church. And as I contemplated what to preach this morning, it's real easy on an Easter Sunday morning to know what to preach. You preach about the resurrection. On a Christmas morning, it's real easy to know what to preach. You preach about His birth. Mother's Day, it's easy. Father's Day, it's easy. And you all know those special days. But an anniversary Sunday, as we talk about the church and we talk about the history of this church, and we're grateful for the men and women that sacrificed to have a church here in West Mobile, Alabama, and we see these things. But as I was thinking about that, there really wasn't anything that I could go to that would really talk about this local assembly of Crossroads Baptist Church. And so I started thinking, and when we look at the word church in Scripture, it's given and used in the New Testament roughly 119 times. And out of the 119 times that it is given and used, it is in reference to a local assembly, a place like ours where people have resided at and near, and they meet and they gather to worship and to sing praises and to be instructed through the Word of God. But I didn't want to go to those churches, but my mind kept going to Matthew chapter 16. Where Jesus said these words to Simon Peter. He said, "Upon this rock I will build My church." He said, "I'll build it upon this rock." He said, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So really, I think, in my opinion, through Scripture, that Matthew chapter 16 is where we find the establishing of the church with Jesus and His disciples. The first church, you say, wasn't a local church. Well, they traveled a little bit. Wherever they went, they seemed to have church. And in Matthew chapter 16, we want to lay some foundational things about the church. Because we are a church. Amen? We are. And we're going to be one. And as I say almost every week, we're going to have church this morning. And I feel like we've had church, and we're going to continue to have church. But I want to say just a few things, and I'm going to say them very quickly. So the faster you listen, the faster I'll go. Amen? All right, let's do this. Go back to verse number 1. The Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came and tempting desired Him that He would show them a sign from heaven. And He answered and said unto them, "When it is evening, ye say, it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the faces of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas." And He left them and departed. The first thing I want you to see here in this church that Jesus built is that, number one, it was open to criticism. You know, everywhere that Jesus went, and from city to city and town to town, every time that He came across a Pharisee or a Sadducee, there was usually some type of criticism. Usually there was some type of questioning of Jesus, of what He was doing or what He wasn't doing. And I like what somebody said long ago. They said there's one way to never be criticized. Want to know how that is? Say nothing, do nothing, and ultimately be nothing. You don't have to worry about being criticized then. Wherever Jesus went, He was criticized. He was also revered, he was also followed, he was also lifted up, but everywhere Jesus went, there was criticism that went along with it. You know, that hasn't really changed much for the church through the years. I mean, you can see it in our political day. There's been years of not just in our time, but before our time, years of persecution for the church, for true believers. Many, multiple Christians and Bible believers being burned at the stake. And praise God, we don't have to do that today. There are regions of our world today that there is great persecution of Christians, of Bible believers, those that are being beheaded and all of that. But I want to remind you that even in the midst of criticism, Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You say, well, it's not right that people are getting killed and getting murdered and having their lives taken. I agree with you. It's not right. It is not right. It's not right. But hey, listen to me. While it's not right, and they're taking lives that shouldn't be taken against God's word, against God's design in all of those things. But can I tell you, many a martyr, if you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs or The Trail of Blood, I would encourage you to get a copy of it and read the testimonies of men and women that gave their lives and the testimonies that they left behind. Many of them giving their lives willingly for Jesus Christ. Hey, the church is not above criticism. Matter of fact, it's open to criticism. It's going to be crucified. It's going to continue to have that criticism. Hey, continue reading in verse number 5. It says, and when his disciples were come together to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. You know, I find much encouragement. I mean, we look up to the disciples, don't we? And when we think about the disciples and we read through them, I mean, man, we're talking about these are men that walked with Jesus. These are men that, my goodness, they saw the miracles. They too, man, they cast out demons. They had many multiple things done. They saw works done. And my goodness, they were there. But can I tell you, they were still human. They forgot the bread. Can you believe that? Did anybody forget the bread this morning? We're going to eat here in just a few moments, but did you forget the bread? Can you imagine that overwhelming thing of, man, there was 12 of them, and I can almost hear the conversation. Brother Terry, didn't you bring the bread? You didn't bring the bread. Bob was supposed to bring the bread, wasn't he? Bob, did you bring the bread? You didn't drop the plate. I dropped the plate yesterday. But did you bring the bread? You didn't bring the bread. Nobody brought the bread. So who was supposed to bring the bread, Bob? You got to blame somebody else. Pick somebody. Matt. Matt was supposed to bring the bread. Matt, did you remember the bread? Chris was supposed to bring the bread. Where's Chris? Where's he? There he is, Chris. Chris, man, you're the youngest here. You're supposed to be on top of these things. Did you bring the bread? Who was supposed to bring the bread? Jason was supposed to bring the bread. Oh, my goodness. Jason, you didn't bring the bread. Who was supposed to bring the bread? Asher was supposed to bring the bread. Now, I can see this going through the disciples, can't you? Yeah. All the way down to the ones you don't even remember their names. Bartholomew. Bartholomew was supposed to bring the bread. No, Thomas was supposed to bring the bread. And here they are. Jesus says, hey, y'all better beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Oh, great. Now Jesus knows we didn't bring the bread. Yeah, Jesus found out. And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, it's because we have taken no bread. And look what Jesus says. Oh, this is great stuff right here. It says in verse number 8, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? He says, hold on a second. He says, guys, I want to remind you something here. Do you, you're over here fussing and you're over here blaming one another as to why you didn't bring the bread. One, I'm not even talking about the bread. But two, how is it that she have little faith? He says, gentlemen, do you not remember who you're with? Can you not remember that when we went down and we didn't have any bread and there were 5,000 people there and one little boy had 5 loaves, did we not feed them? Don't you remember that? Oh, and just a few weeks later, we did it again with 4,000 in attendance with just 7 loaves. But one of the things I want you to remember is it's not about the amount of bread that you have or that you don't have. It's who you're traveling with. Amen. He says, guys, I'm not even talking about the bread you didn't bring because we can take care of that regardless. But listen to what he says here. He says, how is it that ye don't understand, in verse 11, that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Verse number 12, then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of the of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, I wasn't even talking about bread. I was talking about you understanding that there is a doctrine of the Pharisees that you don't need to be near. But while the church that Jesus built was open to criticism, I want you to notice number two, the church that Jesus built sometimes had little faith. Had little faith. Is that not what Jesus said in verse number 8? O ye of little faith. Now I know we are supposed to be super Christians. You know what I mean? I mean, I know underneath, you know, we have underneath our shirts, we got the Bible painted on our chest with an S across of it for super Christian. We have all the faith we in all the world, right? I mean, we have the Bible. I mean, they had Jesus, we have the Bible. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and God has left it here with us through the Bible, and we have the Word, and oh my, we have all faith, don't we? Some of you here sitting this morning came to church with little faith. You know Jesus with his disciples as they walked about, do you know how many times Jesus said, O ye of little faith? When they were in the boat and the ship began to rock and Jesus was asleep in the hindermost part of the ship and they woke him up and said, Master, carest not that we perish? Jesus woke up and he said, how is it that ye have no faith? I'm just trying to fill you in on this, is that the church that Jesus built with his disciples, sometimes it had a little faith. It didn't have a lot of faith, and it just had a little faith. And if we were to be honest this morning with ourselves and with one another, even sometimes with our spouses, if we were to say, how much faith do you have? I got a little bit. I got a little bit. But you see, if we were to raise our hands in way of testimony this morning and say and go through all of these things, and we would want everyone else to think, oh, we have great faith. We have much faith. Now, while we should have much faith, there are times in our lives where we have little faith. This is not any different than the church that Jesus built. But can I remind you something? While Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith, as they continued to travel and as they came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, I find great interest in this particular verse here, in verse number 14. Now, there were some people that obviously were ignorant as to who Jesus was. And let me show you and illustrate to you how ignorant they were. Verse 14. Some say, thou art John the Baptist. Now, this is the most confusing one to me because John the Baptist was alive at the same time that Jesus was. So I think some may have just been confusing the two because they had a similar message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So some said, he's John the Baptist. Others said Elias or Elijah in the Old Testament. Others said Jeremiah had come back and Elijah had come back, or one of the other prophets. And Jesus said, okay, well, who do ye say that I am? In verse 15, Simon was the first one to speak up, and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, as he responds to that, he says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Listen to me. The church that Jesus built, I was open to criticism. It at sometimes had little faith. But number three, I want to tell you that the church that Jesus built had a solid foundation. And I want to remind you that the foundation that Jesus laid for the church continues to this day. The foundation has not changed. The foundation has not been removed. The foundation has not been dug up and replaced. The foundation today remains the same. It is the same foundation that our church was founded on 27 years ago for the purpose of perpetrating the gospel of Jesus Christ for the perpetualness of the gospel. You see, the foundation is not the rock of Peter. Amen. While Peter's name may mean the rock, it was not the rock of Peter that the church was built on. Amen. And the keys that he talks about, we're going to say something about that in just a moment. The keys that Jesus is talking about to the kingdom of heaven was not St. Peter standing by the pearly gates. No, sir. No, ma'am. The rock that Jesus is talking about goes back to Peter's answer, though, in verse number 16, as Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You want to know the foundation of the church? It's Jesus. You want to know the foundation of the church? It's Jesus Christ, the fact that He gave His life to die on Calvary's cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. That, my friend, is the foundation of the church. That's the foundation of this church. Jesus built it. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm just telling you right now, if the church was built upon the rock of Peter, it would have failed thousands of years ago. But that wasn't the foundation that it was built upon. It was built upon the fact that Jesus is the Son of the living God. That's the foundation. And we don't need to miss that today. It's the same foundation today. He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he said in verse number 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him, and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Let me tell you, the church that Jesus built, yeah, it was open to criticism. It had sometimes little faith, but it had a solid foundation. And the church that Jesus built still holds the keys to the kingdom. Oh yeah. You see, when Jesus said in verse number 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." In verse number 21, he says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." So what's the keys to the kingdom of heaven? It's Jesus. The same foundation that Jesus said, "It's me," he's saying, "I'm also the key. I'm also the key." But more so than the key of just Jesus, it's in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You see, right after he says that whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall be loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, he begins to teach them and tell them about how he's going to be killed in Jerusalem. And how on the third day he's going to raise up. This didn't make much sense to them. It didn't even, you realize something, it didn't even make sense to them until they saw him on that resurrected day. Oh yeah. When the women went to the tomb and came back and told Peter and John and said, "Hey, he's not there. Tomb is empty." And they ran to the tomb. What they should have thought was here when Jesus began to teach them. They had forgotten why. Remember what I told you before? Sometimes the church that Jesus built had little faith. They didn't believe until they'd seen it. So what does that mean for our church? What does that mean for our church? What's that mean for the church today? You know, we're going to continue to do things. 27 years, all right, time to celebrate. Time to wrap it up. Time to lock the doors. We're done, right? It's time to retire. Be finished. No. I'll just tell you, 27 years, man, we're just getting started. Amen. It's time to continue moving. It's time to continue going. It's time to continue what God has started 27 years ago. This church must continue. I'm so glad that Jesus said it's the church that he built. Because if it was up to you and I, man, we'd mess things up, wouldn't we? Oh, man. We'd mess it up royally. Those keys that he gave us. You see, it's in the gospel. Paul said it like this. He said it's the power of God unto salvation. Oh yeah, the gospel. The power of God unto salvation. We hold, you and I hold, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. When you got saved, when you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, somebody gave you the keys to unlock the door. Oh yeah. And when you tell somebody about Jesus and they get saved, you're handing off to them the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What a glorious thing. You see, we get to continue this church that Jesus built. Say, is it finished? No, it's not finished. That's the great thing. Sure has taken a long time, hasn't it? I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for the fact that Jesus is still building his church. Could you imagine if he finished in 1970? Anybody born after 1970 wouldn't be in. Anybody saved after 1970 wouldn't have gotten saved because Jesus finished building his church. But he said, "I will build my church." Friend, let me tell you, he's still building. People are still getting saved. The church that he's building is going to be united. When that trumpet sounds, oh, glory. Oh, we're going to meet him in the air. Oh, the bride of Christ, his church. Oh, he's still building. The church that Jesus built is still being built. Yeah, it's open to criticism. The world's going to criticize. Sometimes it's going to have little faith. Doesn't have to. We can have great faith. We can have much faith. Yeah, the church, it's got a solid foundation. It's Jesus. It'll never crumble. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can I just tell you, the church that Jesus built is to be on the offense, not the defense. Amen. We're to be at the gates of hell, winning people to the Lord. Oh yeah. We are. We still hold the keys. Let's bow for prayer, shall we?